Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome to another episode of the Geekeasy podcast. This is episode 51.
It is. Oh, goodness. I forgot that.
Episode 51.
Wow.
It has been 6 months since we recorded episode
50. Can you believe we've done 51 episodes already in only 11 years?
It does feel like 11 years has passed. Oh, my goodness. Well, my name is Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
What's going on,
Six months and I couldn't think of a cool internet handle.
That's right. That's why we took all this time off.
Yeah. So
you can come up with something.
Yeah, and then I gave up on it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah.
Did you forget how to do this already?
I think I did. I can't. The camera's on, and I don't know what to do with my hands. And...
Oh, no. Well, we'll get back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
You'll remember. It's like riding a bike.
I've heard.
Talking about geeky stuff and movies. We're pretty good at it.
I think I just moved the table. I'm already screwing this up.
Move the whole table. It's probably making lots of noise on the microphone.
Sorry, Internet.
We'll get back in the swing of things. So, yeah, it's been 6 months since we last sat down to record this show, which is insane. Like I feel like
it's been about 6 months since we just sat down together.
That's true. It's been crazy. So, yeah, I guess that's a good place to start, is to kind of explain why we've been gone for so long. And mostly, I think it's just because there's been a series of crazy things happening in both of our lives.
I feel like anything we say is going to come off as an excuse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the excuses abound. There's plenty of excuses.
But... We're sorry, guys. We love you. We love nerd stuff. Yeah. We've recorded an episode of this show since the last time I watched a CW superhero show.
Yes, that's the same with me. So, I haven't sat down to watch like Arrow or Flash. Or
I haven't finished Luke Cage.
Oh man.
I haven't touched whatever comes after Luke Cage.
Iron Fist.
That's the one. Haven't touched it.
Yeah, I did. See, now I have managed to get through all of the Marvel things on. Well, all the Netflix Marvel things. I haven't gone through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a really long time either.
That was so good last year, and I haven't finished it either. I still got like 6 episodes of that to go or something.
I'm way behind on that.
That'll hit Netflix soon.
I'm still like where Ghost Rider first showed up, and then I haven't watched it since then.
He first showed up in the first episode.
That's probably all I've seen of that season. So that's, it's crazy. It's hard to keep up with everything.
We don't have any excuses. We're sorry. We'll be better.
We will be better.
Because we can't be worse.
That's true. It'd be hard to be worse than what we already were.
Yeah.
And there's been tons of movies that I've wanted to go see and that we've wanted to talk about, and I haven't hardly been to the movies at all either.
I'm pretty caught up on movies.
Yeah, you've had a little bit better luck with that.
Yeah, my summer movies have been going okay.
That's good. That's good.
I think I've seen everything. I mean, all the big ones. You know, there's been like a big one a week since the beginning of May, and I think I've seen them all. I feel like I've seen them all.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I've seen a few here and there. I missed a few key ones that I really wanted to see. I still haven't seen Logan. I never saw Power Rangers, and I wanted to see Power Rangers.
We were supposed to watch it together, we just never called each other.
Never did. And I haven't gone to see Pirates yet. Pirates is out right now.
I like it.
Did you?
I did.
I haven't had a chance to go see that yet.
I heard some negative things, and then I went into it with kind of lower expectations, but I ended up really enjoying it.
You ended up liking it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah. My wife is really excited to go see that.
Yeah, because the last time I talked to her, she was talking about how you guys weren't going to miss that one, so I assumed you had by now.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the other night, we finally had the opportunity to go to the movies, and we had to decide if we were seeing that or Wonder Woman, and she actually suggested we see Wonder Woman... specifically so you and I could talk about it on the podcast.
What a gal.
Yeah. So this episode brought to you by Christina and her generosity.
Yep.
You guys can all thank her.
She's getting a high five.
Because we figure there is no better place to bring this show back than to talk about the latest DC movie.
There wasn't going to be a DC release without some Geekeasy flying at it.
That's right. We had to talk about the DC movie.
I will not let that happen.
Well, I'm really excited about this because we didn't see it together. Yeah. I just saw it 2 days ago.
We haven't talked about it at all.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. We haven't even had a discussion about it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're going to say.
You're catching this not live exactly, but yeah, this is happening in real time.
This is happening in real time. You guys are going to get some like real straight up like raw discussion between John and on this movie.
Who's got to go first?
I don't know. That's the tough part. You want to jump in and do it?
I can throw it out there.
Should we start with our thumbs up, thumbs down for the movie, and then
just
go in?
A simple pass
just
fail.
A simple pass
simple
fail.
Simple pass fail's pretty easy.
Okay.
All right. On three.
Okay. Oh, wait, yeah. Okay. Here we go. On three.
One, two, three.
Pass.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thumbs up from both of us.
Yeah.
I got done with that movie, and. Okay, I gotta tell this story because I never responded to you, but you have to know that I did crack up when I saw your text message that came in because you had sent me a text message at like 3 a.m. or something like that after you saw that movie, and your text message just said Marvel good yay, and I went, oh no, I was like, surely not, and then I got real confused because I saw how positive of a reaction the entire world is having to it, and I was like, what is wrong with John? So then when Christina and I finally saw the movie, I left the movie going, John is messing with me. Yeah. There is no way that he is that upset about this movie.
I'm sure that
there are things,
yeah,
but...
There's some background to my reaction or whatever. And it wasn't... At no point was I unhappy with that movie.
Yeah.
My only point, and this will still stand, but it's less enthusiastic, was that... there are still so many DC things in that movie.
Had the DC. Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we still had those wonderful DC-erific slowdown moments, mm-hmm. and you know there were a lot of DC things. There had to be
a huge CG monster fight at the end. Spoilers, by the way.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We'll throw that out there now. Yeah. If you guys have not seen Wonder Woman yet, come back to this podcast afterwards. We are going to go ahead and get in-depth and talk about this.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going scene for scene, but we're not holding back. So.
Yes, we will talk about everything. Yeah. So you're right. It definitely fell into that kind of DC thing. Right. Like, it had its moments where it was very, very DC.
Yeah.
But, overall, I just, like... This is the first DC movie that I walked out of this new batch, this current DC movie universe.
Yeah, the DCEU or whatever.
DCEU. This is the first one of these movies that I've walked out of and, like, felt happy and excited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I ran out of that movie theater ready to start deflecting bullets with my wrist because, like, that's how it made me feel. And
so did my kid.
And that's great, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And that's kind of like the thing that we've been talking about this whole way through is how like the DC movies don't make you feel happy or hopeful or like leave you feeling like excited and ready to see the next thing. You just feel kind of sad and depressed at what's going on. And this is the first movie to like really give you that like happy superhero feeling when it's all said and done.
And here is the absolute. I had to watch it twice. And
I kind of want to see it again.
The absolute truth to it. I saw it the first time on opening night. It was like a 10 or 10:30 showtime or whatever. And I knew I had... I saw the first act straight through. I knew at that point I had nodded off a little bit here and there.
Classic job.
Yeah, for sure. And which stunk because I was really like... I went to this movie with a couple of purposes. And I had kept hearing really good things, so I was getting pretty excited about it in spite of my better judgment. But I did one of those things where I left, I'm like, I think I slept through like 10 minutes in one chunk, maybe five, and probably like, I know a couple of minutes here and there, but I don't think I really missed anything else, anything big or whatever. And then I saw it a second time, and I bet I slept through like a half an hour in various parts, as it turns out.
Oh,
there was a bunch of stuff the second time where I'm like, okay, this is making more sense.
Yeah.
Now, the problem was, even knowing I had fallen asleep, what happened is I watched the first act and a little farther, and I was like, okay, this is... fairly flawless so far.
Yeah.
And then when I came to, I can't even remember exactly what was happening, but it was one of those deals where we moved right into a scene where I was like, that was kind of weird. And part of it was because I missed some stuff, and part of it was because of the DC factor. And then it happened again a couple more times, and then we get to, like, you know, So basically, I saw this perfect, like, almost an hour movie.
Yeah.
And then chunks of this movie were in pieces. It was like, oh, this is so, like, there's that, there's the big CG monster
it's
fight.
So DC.
And there's, you know, yeah, like, all this stuff that was going on where I was just like, man, like, it's still good. I still like it, but why didn't they just keep doing the first hour over and over again? Mm-hmm. But now, seeing it fully all the way through, full disclosure also, with my 5-year-old daughter who was enthralled by it, that didn't hurt by any means. But I really caught that hopeful aspect like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I had seen some of the reviews I had seen going in were comparing her to Christopher Reeves' Superman. And that's what got me super excited.
Yeah.
And I caught that all in the beginning and then lost a lot of it in the second half that first time through. And seeing it again without weird pacing issues from me nodding off, seeing it the way it was actually presented, like, she never really does lose that by any means. In fact, it gets stronger as the movie goes further. And that's the kind of thing I can really attach to and fall in love with, is exactly what you said, that level of hope. You know, here was somebody who was, you know, they make a Superman who is supposed to be an all-time symbol of brightness and hope.
Yeah.
And good things, and he's just dejected and mopey and torn apart and, you know, all that stuff. And then they, you know, Batman's Batman. That's where Batman lives, so that's cool. But this is the first time in any of these four movies now that I have seen just a, hope. I'll just keep saying hope. Like, that in one of their characters. The fact that there's somebody who really wants to save the world and who really wants to do it for altruistic reasons.
Yes.
And who really can't, you know, is horrified when she has to see some of the bad sides of humanity, but never falters from wanting to help.
Yeah.
And I was blown away.
Yeah, right? I mean, gosh, Wonder Woman is the DCEU Superman.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, she is exactly what he should have been.
Yep.
And it's wonderful. Like, so one of the things that I love is, you know, they did the fish out of water story arc with her, but they did it in such a way that, like, she wasn't dumb.
Nope.
She wasn't stupid.
Nope.
She wasn't, like, goofy and like,
well,
she was obviously in a new element and learning as she was going, but
yeah,
she was smart, she was intelligent, yep, she stayed valiant all the way through.
And
it was just, I mean, it was handled so well.
Yeah. And in point of fact, I would say she was the fish out of water scenario, but from her character perspective, like, she was always the one who made sense.
Yes.
You know, it was never like, oh, I don't understand the world around me or what's going on or how I fit into it or what I have to do to change or whatever. It was always, why are you guys doing it this way? This is stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like,
exactly,
you're saying one thing and doing another and it doesn't make any sense. And,
right,
you know, there was never a point where she felt like she was the one who was mixed up. She was always just very straightforward, like, here's how things are. Why don't things just work this way?
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she knew the way that she thought things should be. She was very educated, and you know, and that's not to say that they still didn't add some, like, fun humor in there.
For sure.
Which is great, because we don't see a lot of that in the DC movies.
It's another,
like, that's
another
scene,
thing I didn't expect.
Right. Okay, so the scene where she eats the ice cream, and, like, you experience, like, that pure joy of her tasting ice cream for the first, like, how just, like, heartwarming was that little tiny moment in the movie? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just so impressed with the way they handled her character all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just got her so right. You can't even, like, there was nothing about her that I was, like, her as a character, perfect. It was perfect.
Yep.
I loved it.
And she stole the show the whole way through.
Oh, man.
You know?
And,
I mean, I guess it was,
what?
Her name's on it, so maybe that's not stealing the show. But she earned that spot, you know what I mean?
Well, and, you know, when she was first cast, we could probably go back and find out.
Oh, yeah, we did not like
show.
That.
I'm pretty sure we didn't like her.
Yeah, we didn't.
I'm fully, you know, ready to admit right here how wrong I was. And we're very much the kind of wait and see type of people, and we were definitely very nitpicky of her casting choice.
Well, and really, it was just, as I remember, and you know, prove me wrong by finding the old episodes, I don't remember for sure what I said. I just remember thinking that she had too much of, like, a runway model look, like she was just too sleek for a Wonder Woman.
That was kind of what a lot of people were saying.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I... gosh, I'm fully happy to admit that I was wrong. Yep. I'm glad that I was wrong.
Yep.
I adore her. Yeah. And even when we watched Batman v Superman and we talked about that movie, we talked about how cool her scenes were in that movie. Like, she even stole that movie.
Yeah.
And we didn't
that
see
one she
a
stole.
Lot of her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that moment when she showed up in that Doomsday fight, regardless of how we felt the rest of that movie, when she showed up in the middle of that fight, it was like a pure markout moment.
Man, that Doomsday fight makes everything that happened in Wonder Woman seem okay.
Yeah.
You know, like all of like the CG monster stuff.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, and I didn't mind Ares too.
No,
much.
I liked.
I'm glad that they used Ares.
Yeah,
as,
for sure.
That's like her main
villain, and it had to be big because it was a god fight.
Yeah.
So I get that. It's not even like I can nitpick point by point anything that they did. It was just very overdone. And the fact that, again, here's my problem. Okay. And again, we're into spoiler territory.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, for sure.
You go through, you know, the beginning of that movie, and there's that fight on the beach, and then you go through, like, that sequence in the middle of that city, you know, where she's taking all those guys out, and all that's awesome. Like, I loved all that stuff. How do you go from, like, that Ares fight to her? I mean, you got to make more movies still, you know?
Yeah,
how do you go from Ares now to her ever fighting a dude again? Ever. Or 20 dudes without it taking her, like, 6 seconds to just wipe them all out.
I mean,
you know?
I guess that's true. And she's also, like, the whole point of this movie, too, is she was kind of learning about her abilities and her strengths and everything all the way through. And, you know, like, if we go back to Batman v Superman, she shows up at that Doomsday fight like she ain't worried at all.
No.
And
no.
there's
and
even
then
that moment.
Doomsday.
Like, Batman and Superman are just getting their butts handed to them. And, like, they're even kind of like, watch out for this thing. And she's just like, I've killed worse than this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, makes that, like, seem. Like, yep, now yep. that
did
we've
she
seen...
even now that you mentioned that, did she even say something about how she's killed a god before? Or killed
she
god
said
before?
Something
like,
along
yeah.
those lines.
Huh,
yeah.
I don't want to go back and check.
So it just, I mean, I think that's fun because now we've seen all this and it kind of makes all that even more.
We were talking about that the other day. Sometime contributor, Jaron McCaffrey, I believe it was, I was discussing it with, and we were talking about that Batman versus Superman scene with the Doomsday thing where, again, we were like, man, how much more so does this solidify the fact that Superman's sacrifice in that movie was absolutely 100% pointless.
Holy
you know?
Cow.
I mean, we knew that from that movie anyway because we watched Wonder Woman owning Doomsday the whole time, so we were already like, why didn't he just give her the spear?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have made way more sense?
Yeah,
and now we watched this and we're like, okay, super. Like, why didn't... like, at what point were you like, is it chauvinistic of him? Is that the Superman we're dealing
Maybe,
with?
Maybe, I mean, probably. In this, I mean, this particular Superman...
You'd think even Batman would have been standing there going, just give her the spear.
Yeah.
Just give her the spear. No, I got this. I got to do this myself. Dude, just give her the spear. She's fine. You know?
She's a lady. I hope he just goes full on like that's the Superman we get now.
You sounded like Val Venus.
Hello, ladies.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to see Val Venus Superman, but I know I do want to see it. Yeah, you're right.
Could it be worse?
No. And that makes me sad because I like Henry Cavill.
I do too. I just don't like the way they got. I hope things change. Maybe when he comes back from the dead, he'll be a whole new Superman.
Have we talked about that Justice League trailer yet?
Let's go ahead. We can take a pause to talk about that Justice League
trailer. I don't think anything's going to change.
Well, this is a good point, and I wanted to talk about this based on Wonder Woman because. Well, first of all, I think they're doing a ton of reshoots with Justice League. Like, I don't think they're anywhere near having that movie ready yet.
Even though
you keep seeing trailers.
Like, I keep seeing how many, but they've done a lot of reshoots on all of these movies.
Yeah.
And that's always the narrative going in. Oh, they got to do all these reshoots. The movie's in trouble. And, you know, thus far it's been right. But
that's just a thing, though, now, too. I mean, they always do reshoots on movies now, it
feels
like. You know what I mean? But I have this feeling or this suspicion that they didn't quite know that Wonder Woman was going to have this sort of an impact. I don't think, because, and we didn't, since we weren't recording, we didn't really get to talk about this going into it, but I kind of feel like they weren't really advertising that movie as strongly as they should have been. Like, there weren't a lot of commercials on TV for it. It kind of almost felt like they went quiet a little bit before that movie came out. And I don't know if I'm just kind of, like, looking too much into that or something. Yeah. But I just have this feeling that, like, they weren't expecting this movie to be so widely accepted and for it to be making so much money. And I kind of hope that it's got them all sitting there right now going, maybe we need to pay attention to this and what worked about it. And, you know, I don't know. And
well,
and,
you hope that, but the problem yeah. is, the problem has always been that all of those movies have made money.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true.
You know, true. I mean, they haven't had the positive reaction, but I don't know that any of those people care about the positive reaction. They just care about the bottom line on the dollar.
But it's,
you know?
It's crazy to, like, you know, you think about Batman v Superman on Rotten Tomatoes had, like, what was that score? It was
like
terrible.
28 or something
yeah.
absurd.
And Wonder Woman's sitting at like 98% yeah. right now or something like yeah. that. Like, you just feel like they've got to look at that and go, okay, there's a big difference here.
You hope. There's yeah. so much more enthusiasm. And I will say, you know, to somewhat their credit, I guess, when these, you know, even with Batman versus Superman, like, there was full acknowledgement, I felt like, from Warner Brothers where they went, hey, we made like $800 million. And we have no idea how we didn't make $1 billion, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, they made a ton of money, but they knew they should have made a lot more.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, again, they went to the next movie and didn't really fix anything.
Yeah.
And that's the one problem I have with Wonder Woman. I can't pinpoint any one thing where I say, okay, this was, like, the huge problem of the movie, but I can say it still had that DC feel to it. Mm-hmm. And so my fear is, as awesome as it was, that it was successful in spite of itself and in spite of the studio, and that, you know, because a lot of the issues, they're not nearly as prevalent, and some of them, you know, you have to kind of dig for, and I will admit I'm nitpicky about this stuff because they're 0-for-3 up until this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But I felt like a lot of those things that drive me crazy were still hovering there, either not necessarily prominent, but somewhere in the background. There was, because there was humor in this movie, but not in-your-face humor, which is good. Perfect. It worked great.
Yeah, I thought it was a good balance.
It's exactly what it should have been. But yeah. then you look at it and go, okay, like, this was perfect, but was it perfect by accident?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it perfect because they knew what they were doing? You know, did they let Patty Jenkins... Did they ignore this movie because they didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal? And then, you know, the creator was actually able to make an awesome movie under the radar?
That's a good point.
You know, like, that's the kind of thing. Because I feel like any of the stuff that, you know, does drive me crazy in there were the studio notes. Like,
yeah.
the movie was great, and then the studio notes were like, hey, try this, you know? And it's like, ugh, all right, fine. We'll right. throw that in there somehow.
Right.
There's still a fear factor there,
okay.
basically.
Gotcha.
God, I love that movie, though.
I will say, like, that Justice League trailer, while overall it was not a great trailer, I don't think it did any favors for, like, hyping that movie at all.
Hot garbage. Is that still a term?
Yeah, hot garbage.
Okay.
We'll use that. I will say, even though I still am not a fan of his look, I kind of already have the sneaking suspicion that Aquaman might be Ooh. A character that we're all going to end up loving.
Yeah.
Because just the few things they put in that trailer, I was like, I kind of like this guy.
Yeah, I'm ridiculously excited for an Aquaman movie.
Like when he walks in, he's like, oh, so you're dressed like a bat.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool, yeah. I guess. Or the part where he's surfing on the Batmobile and Bruce just looks super annoyed with him.
Which,
I was like, this is kind of cool.
Which like, I was so torn right on that because I'm like, man, this is so dumb, but he looks so happy, and that's drawing me in.
I know, that's
you know?
What I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm going to love Aquaman regardless of what yeah. that movie turns
out. I feel like Justice League is going to be 2 hour and 47 minute CG monster fight.
Oh my god, it's totally going to be.
Yeah.
I think the villain is Steppenwolf, right?
We've heard. I mean, they're supposed to be building towards Darkseid, but it was supposed to be two movies and now it's one, but there's another one coming right away, but it's not, I don't know, who knows. Because if they do Steppenwolf and it's not leading to Darkseid, then whatever.
Yeah.
But if they do Darkseid right away, then they got to figure out what to do in the second movie, if there is a second movie.
And I'm pretty sure all those flying things are the parademons.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure.
So, yeah. I don't know. So anyway, back to Wonder Woman.
Yep.
We keep talking about how great Gal Gadot, however you say her
yeah.
name.
I always say Gadot, but I don't know that I'm right.
So we keep talking about how great she was as Wonder Woman, but we got to throw a bone over to Chris Pine.
Oh, right.
How amazing was
yeah.
Chris Pine in that movie?
Yeah.
His character was fantastic.
Yep, yep. Another, it was, no one can argue that movie wasn't perfectly cast.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody in that movie was great, but the two main leads for sure.
He was so charming.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just...
And altruistic.
Yeah.
Another guy who, you know, that. Yeah, he didn't understand what he was doing all the time, but he knew there was a reason for it.
Right.
And, you know.
Right.
Why do you do this? Well, you just,
I mean,
you
he
have
was
to.
Just like that perfect, like, the brave soldier that you always yeah. want to think about and
I think
want
I've,
to see, right?
I think I've moved this table about 4 feet closer to the camera.
The table just keeps scooting.
So, I'm large. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because he was just concerned with ending that war. He
yeah.
wanted to do what he thought was right all yep. the way through. And that what was great about that is the way his what he thought was right kept clashing with what Wonder Woman thought was right, even though they both had the same end goal.
Yeah.
You know, they had to find that moment where they kind of both realized that they were both trying to do the same thing, just
yeah.
in a different way. You know, because in her mind, you know, Ares was the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that aspect of it, you know, because she kept saying, take me to war. Because in her mind, war was a person.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, he was kind of like, what part
yeah.
of the war? What do you mean? The war is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a world war. And I kind of loved how that was like a theme through the whole thing until like it clicked for both of them.
Yep.
You know, like that was really, really neat. So I just, the whole opening scene, like getting to see everything with... Themyscira. I've always had a hard time saying the name of that place. I think it's Themyscira.
Themyscira. I don't think there's an R in it. Themyscira.
Themyscira.
Well, there's an R
Themyscira.
At the end. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved that. I loved the contrast between seeing everything with Themyscira and then everything going on in the real world because of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Because they... You know, like the DC movies, one of the things we've always also complained about is the dark, gritty look of them with no color or anything.
Mm-hmm.
This movie had like the perfect balance of
yep.
both
yep.
because they did that thing where they showed how bright and colorful
it...
and happy the island was.
Yeah.
And then we saw how dark and gloomy the war was.
Is it weird that their World War One? Movie was their brightest so far?
It is
so,
weird.
Yeah.
It is weird. But I just loved the way they did that. You know, they kind of did that whole opposite sides thing to really show the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And the other thing I really liked is, like, even when you were in the dark, gritty war scenes, Wonder Woman was always colorful.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a great,
yeah.
like, note.
Not,
like,
not,
she was
not
like...
an in-your-face color.
Right.
But
still,
but,
like,
yeah,
like, the
brighter than
and
everything
the blues
around her.
And
yeah.
the golds on her outfit were still bright enough
yep.
that she looked far more colorful than everything else around her.
Yep.
And I thought that was just a really cool, like, just a cinematic touch
yeah.
that they added to the overall movie. I
yeah.
thought that was great.
It really flowed perfect with what they had built, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. And just, you know, the Lasso of
again.
Truth was so cool, the way they used the Lasso
There were a
of
couple
truth.
Of times, you know, like, I loved the Lasso. It looked a little cheesy in a couple of scenes. And that
was
another thing.
It was glowing.
Yeah, there were a few times where they would show, like, a close-up of her with, like, fire in the background or whatever, or, you know.
Oh, yeah, and you kind of get that, like, real CG kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, where it was just like, oh, I felt like this movie had a bigger budget than that. But in all honesty, I don't know that it did have that big of a budget. I really don't. I think
not.
It was, like, $130 million or something like that.
Probably goes back to them going, that Wonder Woman movie was
yeah,
not going to be
exactly,
as big as a Batman
exactly.
movie.
So, that, I mean, that's all stuff I'll easily forgive.
Yeah.
It was just sometimes I'd be like, hey, this is awesome. Whoa, that looked weird. Okay, it's back to awesome again.
So, the No Man's Land scene. Like,
mm-hmm.
the scene where she, like, really became Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
How epic was that whole...
Yep.
When she charges out there and just starts deflecting all those bullets with her... Like, that's just one of those seriously, like... You really feel your inner comic book geek, like, getting so happy. When you watch her run around deflecting bullets
yeah.
like that, it's just like, this is amazing!
Yep. And then just hunkered down behind that shield. I did
oh,
think it was
man.
Funny, because, like, the second she runs out there and they freak out and then... Steve Trevor's like, she's drawing all the bullets, everybody go! And I'm sitting there thinking, she's probably not. I think they have more than one of those guns. You guys should probably still be careful.
I thought that was kind of funny,
but it was awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, but then when you see that scene where, like, they are all focusing on her
because yeah.
she's blocking it with her shield, that was amazing.
Yep.
I was just, gosh, that was so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a great movie all the way through, and I'm so happy I could say that.
Yes.
I really am.
Yes.
I had so much fun with it. I do want to see it again.
And again, my 5-year-old, and that's one of the reasons I had to see it that first time anyway. Like, I probably shouldn't have gone that first night because I knew I was tired, but I wanted to make sure she could watch it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't terribly concerned, and I had even heard that, you know, Patty Jenkins wanted to make sure that It was a movie little girls could watch, but I don't know where that line is drawn always, and it was still PG-13, and she's only 5.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, there was a few things where I was like, I kind of wish they hadn't done that, but it's all stuff that's going to fly right over her head. There were, you know, parts where, you know, some of the parts between her and Steve Trevor, especially at the towards the beginning.
In the boat?
Yeah, in the boat.
Yeah.
And him in the pool and
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
That one, just that one part, basically, where she's like, what is that? And he's like, it's, oh, my watch, you know?
Yeah,
Some of the stuff like that, where I was like, I'd prefer if that weren't in there, just for her sake. Like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. And it's not a movie for 5-year-olds, so that's not a complaint by any means.
Right.
But there was a couple things where I went, that's not the greatest, but she's not going to notice any of that. It's going to fly right over. And it did.
That's
didn't
good.
Catch any of that stuff.
I think, yeah, that is one thing that is really great about this. And another reason I'm so happy it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that was kind of a legitimate fear of mine. I felt like this might have been the only chance for Wonder Woman to get a movie.
Yes.
Like, if this movie was bad, we probably never would have got one ever again. And that's sad to think about.
Yeah, I mean, if this thing had tanked at the box office, then we, And that's the thing now, because I don't know if the DCEU is going to exist for very many more years or not. I really don't.
Yeah.
If they can continue on this trend, sure. Awesome. If they can't, then eventually it's going to go away. But we don't have that fear anymore. Like, there will be Wonder Woman movies for decades. Hopefully they've all got Gal Gadot for a while.
She was
Gadot
great.
Or whatever. Now you've got me questioning.
I know.
But even if they don't, like, the character will survive because it's been proven now that that character can come in and make bank.
I'm so happy that, like, she could be a role model.
Yes.
And I think that is just one of the coolest things that, like, you know, when I can walk into a store now and see all those Wonder Woman toys, that makes me really happy for all those kids who have probably wanted to have something like that, you know? I think that's just the best.
Yeah, so. My kid's been into the DC superhero girl stuff for a while, mostly Supergirl, though. And she's always liked the Wonder Woman, and she got, I think for Christmas, she got, like, a little dress-up thing. It had a, like, the tiara type thing.
Nice.
But it was from the DC Superhero Girls, and it had wrist bands, essentially, that were like the gauntlets.
Yeah.
And she played with them for a little while, and then just kind of, like, didn't again. And she both make, well, I got 3 of them now. But only 2 of them have personalities yet.
one of them's a
Yeah. Both of the kids are, they're not, they don't jump up and down over stuff that often. I mean, they get excited about stuff, but you're like, you watch a cool movie, and you're like, what'd you guys think? And they're like, yeah, it's good. You're like, oh, I thought you'd be excited.
Oh,
it takes a little bit of time to build, though. So we did that. We were leaving. Like, did you like it? Yeah. Did you really like it? Yeah. What was your favorite part? I don't know. Like, all right, okay. I think she enjoyed it, so we're fine. She seemed enthralled by it. And then by the end of that night, she had went and found all her Wonder Woman stuff. She was standing there. She was wanting me to take pictures of her doing the pose.
Oh,
she was
that's so
blocking
good.
Bullets all night. She had found a little foam sword, like a pirate sword from my son, and that was her sword. So she wanted to do that. So I actually went out when she went to bed that night. I went and drove it down to Walmart and bought her an actual Wonder Woman, like branded sword, so it looked like that. And so she woke up in the morning and she was thrilled about that. And then she kept saying for the last several days, I just gotta get a shield now. As soon as I get a shield, I'll be fine. So I came home today and she had found like a Tupperware lid that was just about the perfect size for her.
Yeah.
And she had constructed like a handle on the back, like out of tape and like a stick or something like that.
My
like
gosh.
She built a shield out of this thing, so her costume is now complete. And you see stuff like that and you're like, okay.
That's
the movie
man.
Did it. That's it right
That's
there.
That's it. That's
like it hit it all home. You know,
good stuff.
Yeah, more so than the DC or than the superhero girls cartoons even have, because she's seen like that cartoon movie and we've read the books and she's really enjoyed them and been excited about them. But she, I mean, like I said, she didn't play dress up for a weekend based on that stuff.
Right.
But she did off this movie.
Oh, that's so good. That's great.
Yeah.
See, so now I think we can officially start saying Wonder Woman. Good. Yay.
Yeah.
And I hope it leads to better things with DC. Mm-hmm. I really do. I really do. I want to feel the way I felt when I left this movie, when I leave a Batman or a Superman movie.
It's going to be weird to reconcile, because I honestly, with all my heart, believe Justice League's going to be a dumpster fire.
I don't. Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, because that's the problem with a quick turnaround on these schedules. If they do learn anything from this movie, it will not show up in Justice League.
Yeah, it's too far into it.
It might not even show up in Aquaman. Though I have hopes now that Aquaman's another one of those that's going to fly under their radar.
Like, I know.
It's James Wan doing it, isn't it?
I'm not entirely sure.
Well, regardless, whoever it is, I think it's James Wan. And hopefully he can just take that, make a fun movie with it, not get too much interference from the studio, and then it'll be awesome, you know? And it'll be really, really weird when
the best DC movies are an Aquaman movie and Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Or just when an Aquaman movie is super fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, Thor
did it.
Thor did it.
Yeah. So, cool. But
Ragnarok looks so good.
Oh my goodness.
Every time I see that trailer, I get so happy.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing. Spider-Man's in like 2 weeks, dude.
Oh, we're so close to Spider-Man. Well, see, we got plenty.
Oh, a month from yesterday. Crap.
We're still a month away. But we have plenty of topics coming up to talk about, so that's going to be great. All right. Well, now that we've got Wonder Woman in the can.
And let us know what you guys thought.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Always want to hear what you guys have to think about.
Judging from most of the internet, you probably all loved it.
Yeah.
But, you know, give us some specifics. Or if you didn't, let us know why. Be respectful.
Be respectful. Yeah. All right, well, let's go and talk about some other entertainment news. There's a few topics specifically that I want to talk about, because some of these are right in my wheelhouse, and I've been just bombarded with people wanting to know, like, what I think about a lot of this stuff. So we're going to talk about Masters of the Universe, and I will say off the bat, I already did, like, I sat down and recorded a video discussing the whole release date thing already, because when that happened, I was just like, I gotta say something about this. And I already put together this whole video. You might have already seen it. If not, you can go check out my entire rant on why I'm skeptical on that whole release date thing and everything. But essentially, just last month, they announced an official release date for the supposed Masters of the Universe live action movie as December 18th, 2019. This is the biggest news we've really had on a Masters of the Universe movie. We've talked about this a few times on the show before, but this movie has just legitimately been in development for over 10 years now. It's one of those things that, like, it pops up in the rumor mill and then nothing happens.
What was that date again?
December 18th, 2019.
Are they planning that movie to go head-to-head with Episode 9?
I thought that at first, but the release date for Episode 9 is actually in May that year.
Okay, they moved that one to the summer already? Because originally they were going to do, like, the first one was in December.
Yeah.
And then it was going to switch to summer, mm-hmm. like, right away. And then the first one made all the money, and Rogue One wasn't ready yet. So then they started just sort of leaving them in December for a while. And I didn't know if they were, are they still going to switch back to summer then?
Yes, I guess. Yes. They officially announced that Star Wars movie is being in May. Okay. So,
because putting this up against Episode 9 is probably a bad idea.
Well, I did. That was one of my first reactions. I think I even said that in the video. I was like, is Star Wars going to be out that month? Because that's a bad idea. I don't know what the heck they're thinking. So they announced this release date. But then, like, within 24 hours, the next news thing that broke was that Mick G, who has been tied to this as the director for the last year or so now, dropped out of the project. The day after they announced a release date for the movie, they lost the director for the movie. So as of right now, there is just nothing happening with this movie. The only thing that we know is that supposedly David Goyer is writing the script.
And make no mistake about this. That is bad news.
I know. It's like, first of all, Sony's doing the movie. Uh-oh. Then we got David Goyer supposedly writing the script. And, you know, we're the guys who talk about all these DC movies. So you already know how we feel about
David
that.
Goyer is not good at writing things.
I mean,
he gets paid a ton to do it, so I probably shouldn't throw stones. But I feel that he is not good at writing things.
So, basically, bottom line, I'm in a position where I'm still not ready to get myself too excited about this. Because I just feel like This still has potential to be nothing.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they might have announced that date, but we may never hear about it again. I could be wrong. Maybe the movie will come out. But it's weird that there is just nothing done for this movie except for a release date. They've done nothing.
It's
weird to me.
I can't feel any optimism towards this because, like, between the fact that I can't tell if I hope that the movie falls through or gets made, even, because I don't, like, I would love to see a good one. If I'm not going to see a good one, I don't really want to see one at all.
Yeah, you know? And I've kind of said that a lot, too. I feel like the problem with me, and I'm fully ready to admit this, and it's weird for me to say it because I consider myself a very positive person. I always give things a chance, and you guys who watch my toy reviews know that I'm pretty positive and all that stuff. But Masters of the Universe is that property that's so near and dear to me. I just don't know if I'm going to like anything that they make because I feel like I'm going to have this very stubborn, like, thought in my head of what I would like to see, and I don't know if Hollywood could live up to that.
Well, it really depends. And it's the Hollywood thing that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Because there are guys out there who do write and direct movies that are very big He-Man fans also, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And there are guys out there who get it. But the problem is you gotta have one of those guys at the helm, you gotta have one of those guys in the writer's room, and you gotta have one of those guys at the studio with enough power to say what, and you gotta really have all three of those things for it to really truly work out, at least to some level, you know? And that's a hard mix to find for such an interesting property on that level.
Right, definitely. Know?
Now, they could, you know, they can come totally out of left field and still make a cool movie. We've seen it done before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I keep saying, too, my biggest thing is that, like, I want this movie to grab the attention of kids more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that is the biggest key to success with this movie. If they can get a new generation of fans for He-Man, then this movie is successful in my book. That's mm-hmm. what I want to see happen.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I can easily, I mean, they're doing this, they have this whole weird superhero trend that's going R-rated now, which is awesome to what it's been done, but what if that starts branching out
and they try to do like a hardcore He-Man?
That's practically what Power Rangers looked like. We haven't seen it yet, as we discussed. And it wasn't R-rated.
Supposedly, Power Rangers was really good, though, too. Well, that's the weird thing about Rangers, and this is all we can really say about it since we haven't seen it yet. Everybody was kind of a little worried about it, like we were, but then everybody ended up saying that that movie was a lot of fun.
Did they?
So, like, the general consensus I have seen, I don't know if this represents everybody, but the people I have talked to and what I've seen, people really liked Power Rangers and thought it was a lot of fun. The problem was it didn't make enough money.
No, yeah, it didn't make anything.
And I don't think we're going to get any more of those
probably
as a
not.
Result.
And I will say I didn't, you know, I only talked to a couple of people, like, personally. I didn't really look for reviews, and I kind of thought the idea that I wasn't really seeing a whole lot of reaction was a fairly bad sign to begin with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, usually if it's really good reaction or really bad reaction, you hear about it one way or the other, especially with the websites I go to and everything.
Right,
and I sort of just didn't hear anything for a while. So I was like, well, I mean, that means it's middle of the road at best.
Mm-hmm.
And the couple of people I talked to were unimpressed. They didn't hate it, but they were unimpressed.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of wrote it off on that level. Like, I'll still watch it, but I'm not.
Yeah, I need to see it at some point. I want to.
I think it's out on DVD this month, I want
to
say.
Oh, sweet. We'll have to look into that then and give a proper analysis of it.
Yeah.
So on this Masters of the Universe thing, the real topic I want to discuss here with it is the only other real piece of news that has come out since the announcement of the release date.
Quote unquote real.
It's a rumor. This is a rumor. And I want to make sure that that is very clear. This is nothing more than a rumor. Because this came out and all the news sites picked it up immediately.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I like your Wonder Woman glass. That's nice.
It's your glass.
So all the news sites picked this up right away, but it's definitely a rumor. So this originates from Comic Book Cast. There's a video on YouTube, actually, specifically for this topic. But the whole rumor is that supposedly Sony has a mandate that says that Skeletor cannot appear in the movie as the villain. And in this podcast, the host goes on to basically say that he's a big fan of the property. He knows a lot of people who work on the property and is involved in the property, and they have all told him that this is the mandate that has been delivered down. And then he goes on to say that this is the right move for the movie. This is the way it should be, because basically they want to kind of do that big build-up thing like Marvel's doing with Thanos, where He-Man's going to fight these lesser villains, and eventually, down the road in a future movie, it'll be Skeletor the whole time. And he basically lays out this whole thing of why he thinks that's a good move. And I just don't agree with him.
No.
At all. With all due respect to Comic Book Cast, I am about to give you my rebuttal for your entire I'm going to argue. This is going to be my argument against everything that he says in his video. First of all, for no reason at all, I'm going to go ahead and say that I also know lots of people who work on the He-Man property, and I've worked very closely with this property for the last 10 years. There's no reason. I just wanted to say that just because.
And I know him. He really knows those people.
That really doesn't mean anything because I don't know anybody that's working on this movie. So I will say, you know, this is a rumor. The problem is like, it's one of those things that I don't put this past Hollywood to do, you know, because especially we've kind of seen the nasty side effect that the Marvel movies have had on Hollywood, because there's all those people who just don't get it, and they kind of see what Marvel's doing and they try to copy it without fully understanding it.
Yep.
And
remotely understand.
Yeah, exactly. And so it would honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if Hollywood's like, oh, let's plan on a trilogy with He-Man and we'll build up to the big Skeletor thing for the third movie. I think that is a terrible idea. I really, really hate the idea of making a first movie as a setup for movies that you don't even know are going to happen, first of all, because you're going to leave all these unanswered questions, all this stuff that people want to see that they'll never end up seeing.
Yep.
I think that is just bad marketing. Yeah, that's a bad move.
Yeah, they look ahead at franchises and they forget that they have to draw an audience in from the get-go to have a franchise.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, they keep some of the things, like he was directly comparing this to like Thanos. Like, I think in this podcast he even said something like, you know, they didn't throw Thanos right out there right away in Guardians of the Galaxy, which is funny because they kind of did. Thanos was there, right? He was there
for
in
sure.
That movie.
He was driving the whole plot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and he does kind of mention that Skeletor can just kind of be a puppet master and pulling the strings, but that he wants to see He-Man fight all these lesser villains so that it really fleshes out the world of Eternia. So I'm going to start by saying the one argument that you might be able to make that would fit in line with that is the original concept for the toys, before there was a cartoon series, the original concept for the toys was that every character was a master of something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, Beastman was like the best of his race. Merman was the best of his race. So I guess if you want to look at it from that aspect, I guess Beastman could be the villain if that's the route you want to take. I don't like that because when we're talking about the general audience, people who remember
He-Man, that's a pretty obscure source.
It is obscure. That's like a hardcore Masters fan like knowledge thing, okay?
Yeah.
The general audience or the people who remember He-Man remember He-Man versus Skeletor.
Yep.
This is one of those cases that is completely different than your big build-up to Thanos or your big build-up to Darkseid. This is a different scenario, okay? You can't have Optimus Prime without Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles without the Shredder. You can't have He-Man without Skeletor.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't.
Yep, they build too much.
The guy in the video here kind of makes it sound like He-Man's got this big rogues gallery. But he doesn't.
Because the closest thing I could think of to where they do sort of do that kind of thing is like Batman and the Joker. Like, it's another two characters that can't really exist with each other, but you don't have to start with the Joker every time.
Right.
But that is totally different because Batman does have a rogues gallery. Like, specifically, he has people who don't work together, but they all fight him.
Yes.
And they all have their own thing, and they can all be their own threat, and that makes sense. But like you just said, like, He-Man doesn't. He-Man has Skeletor, and Skeletor has minions.
Right, exactly. You know? Like, those guys work for Skeletor.
Yeah.
And there has been the one-off villain here and there, especially in the old cartoon, but this movie is not going to be He-Man versus Count Marzo. It's not going to be He-Man versus Evil Seed or Chakotay. It's just not. Because that is that is not the way you market a big-budget Hollywood movie and to the general public.
To the defense of this idea, like, Skeletor could be the villain without the being the final battle. You know, like, way too many of these comic booky type movies end up always killing the villain or somehow doing something. Like, you don't have to get to the end and he destroys Skeletor.
Definitely. He shouldn't kill Skeletor.
They don't even have to really fight in the first one. But Skeletor has to be leading this.
He's got to be the big bad.
Yeah.
And, okay, let's just know, we know this is going to happen. This is going to be an origin story movie.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to learn how He-Man gets the power of Grayskull, Adam gets the power of Grayskull and becomes He-Man. That doesn't happen without Skeletor being a threat already.
Yep.
Okay, like, those origins are tied together.
Yeah.
Like, Skeletor has to be there causing some serious problems in order for the Sorceress to reach out and say, it's time for He-Man, because this Skeletor dude's here.
Yep.
So, like, we can't, like Adam's not going to learn to become Adam's not going to learn to become He-Man so that he can go fight off Merman. I don't see that.
Unfair is the comparison to begin with when you start talking about, like, well, you know, the Marvel movies built up to Thanos. Like, that's, He-Man and Skeletor are essentially equals to some degree. You know what I mean? Like, yes. it's like Thanos is essentially a demigod that it takes a legion of heroes to go up against.
This is
not the same thing as arch enemies having to build up, you know? And also, if you're going to build up to something in a He-Man universe, why don't you build up to Hordak?
Exactly. That was going to be my next thing. Like, if you, because one of the arguments he makes in this is that, you know, oh, they want to maybe have him do the puppet pulling the strings, and they build up to the big reveal of him. No, if you need somebody pulling the strings on the other side, you make the big reveal that, oh, Hordak is giving Skeletor orders, or Hordak is showing up, and that's a problem for Skeletor and He-Man. And then you do the big evil Horde storyline later down the road. Or that's your perfect way to bring She-Ra into the mix, if they're able to and want to go that route and introduce She-Ra. Boom, instant sequel material right there, right? Like,
I think Sony should call us.
Sony should definitely call people like me or some of the other people in the community that, I mean,
seriously, I think you could sit down for a weekend and plot out like a 3 to 5 movie arc that is better than anything they're going to get out of David Goyer.
Oh,
for sure.
I'm so sad. So, I mean, okay, so there's 3 major villain factions for Masters of the Universe. If they really wanted to do a trilogy and they wanted to, like, really bring in all these crazy characters, they could find a way to make it work, because it's worked in the animation in the past. You have Skeletor and the Evil Warriors, you have the Snake Men with King Hiss, and then you have the Evil Horde with Hordak.
I forgot about the Snake Men.
Yep, those are the 3 major evil factions that are the threat to Eternia. And the fun thing about that is none of them get along.
Yeah.
So you always have, like, and one of my favorite dynamics of all of this is, like, Hordak was always kind of built up as the bigger bad, the guy who used to command Skeletor around. So you kind of have that great thing where, like, Skeletor also hates Hordak.
Yeah.
And then you kind of start rooting for Skeletor because you want Skeletor to be the big bad and not Hordak. And it's just a really great dynamic.
And how, you know, like, how great would that, just as a trilogy right there, how great would it be if you did, like, Skeletor running the show and He-Man fights, you know, Beastman and Merman and Trapjaw at the end of the first movie. And then the second one, you really rev up the He-Man Skeletor fight. But towards the end, you get this glimpse of Hordak.
Yeah.
And then the third one's almost He-Man and Skeletor teaming up
to get rid of the Horde.
Yeah, you know,
man.
So, you know.
See, and I would be game for something like that.
And that was in 20 seconds.
That would be so much fun.
That we just did that.
That would be so much fun. Yeah, I am not on board with this idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bad idea. I don't know if it matters that I think that, because Sony will do whatever they want to do. I really hope that this is nothing.
Well, again, on the bright side, nothing's moving forward with this movie anyway.
Yeah,
so even if this is a rumor that is founded in any reality, the only thing that you know for sure at this point is that this won't be what happens.
Yeah.
Because things are going to change a lot between now and then.
I agree. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think I'm completely crazy, or do you agree with me?
I think you just love He-Man, dude.
I do. I really do. I'm super passionate about it, but that's one of the things with this fan base. Like, there's actually so many stories and so many different, like, you know, Masters of the Universe is kind of one of those things where there's so many different, like, forms of media for it, so they've kind of all got their own different things. You've got, like, the original toy line kind of storyline and the original mini comics. You've got the Filmation cartoon series. You've got the 2003 cartoon series, which kind of redid things a little bit. So everybody kind of, like, picks and chooses, like, their favorite parts
of
those.
You've got that Dolph Lundgren movie.
You got the current DC comics, which I'm not really paying much attention to, which I probably should be, but
I'm a little shocked. sucked.
Well, I didn't really like the first. I didn't really like the first story arc, so I kind of just bailed on it. Yeah,
there you go.
But supposedly it's gotten better. Everybody keeps telling me it's gotten a lot better. But you know, that's what I mean. Like, everybody kind of has their different pieces of He-Man that they like or that they think. You know, there's a section of the fan base who is very true to the original mini comic storyline where Prince Adam wasn't a thing. He was just He-Man, a barbarian around all the time. So you know, some of those fans might actually be on board with this idea because that was kind of more of a barbarian fighting crazy monsters kind of a storyline. You know what I mean? Like, Skeletor was still there and still a bad guy, but that was also, you know...
I will say, and I don't think you'll agree, and I get that because of the passion for it, like, you can still make a cool movie out of some of these dumb storylines.
You could.
But it won't be a He-Man movie, you know what I mean? It won't be like...
And that's, you know, when you're doing a big Hollywood movie like this, you have to do what's going to appeal to the general audience, and you have to try to appeal to that nostalgia factor for that fan base who grew up with He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, what the general public is going to expect, is they're going to expect to see Prince Adam turn into He-Man, they're going to expect to see Orko and Battle Cat, they're going to expect to see Skeletor. You have to give them that stuff. Yeah.
Orko could be like the best or worst thing of the year as far as cinema goes.
I want Orko in a movie.
Oh,
I
for
hope
sure.
They do Orko.
They have to do him in a movie. I'm just saying, like,
I want
between effects and interpretation, man, like, that could be the coolest looking little wizard guy imaginable, or that could straight up be the next Jar Jar.
Well, you know, that's why we got Gwildor in the first movie, is because they didn't have the way to do Orko.
Yep.
So they made Gwildor instead, basically. And that's also why that movie took place on Earth. They didn't have a budget to do Eternia.
Exactly.
So, you know, this time around, we could get Eternia, we could get Battle Cat, we could get Orko, we could get all the crazy-looking characters, but Skeletor has to be there.
Yeah.
He has to be.
To some level.
I mean, Skeletor is just as much Masters of the Universe as He-Man is. I love that character.
Yep.
He is my favorite, like, villain out of everything, and I will be so bummed
and
out
there's
if he's not there.
There's no reason to save him. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know?
Definitely.
Like I said, he's not the guy you build to. He's the guy who's always there as the foil.
Yes.
You know? And there's plenty of things you can build to without wasting time not having him in your movie.
I agree. Put Skeletor in that movie, Sony.
Where's the petition?
Yeah, well, that's right. Let's start a petition for something we don't even know is actually fact.
Do we want to talk about more Sony things that scare us? Because I don't even think this is on our list. But
okay, let's do it.
That what did the like the faux Marvel universe? I saw somebody refer to it as or whatever. All these Sony movies that they're planning. Like they've got a
because they're doing all those
basically Spider-Man villains that have nothing to do with Spider-Man. Which again, I am really on the fence about. Like they're talking about doing a Venom movie. I don't want to see a Venom movie that isn't in some way, shape, or form tied to Spider-Man, but Spider-Man doesn't have to be in the Venom movie either. He can be referenced, and I'm fine with that. And they've supposedly already cast Tom Hardy. I like Tom Hardy.
I hope he just talks like Bane as Venom.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to eat your brains.
I want that movie now. But like I'm just so owing the Silver and Black or Black and Silver. Silver and Black, I think they're calling it. A Silver Sable
which is
Black
a silver,
Cat
Sable, Black
team
Cat
up.
Movie.
Which is the weird. Like, I didn't think anybody but me ever paid attention to Silver Sable. But I used to read that comic all the time.
Yeah.
So I immediately got excited about that news. But again, it's one of those deals where I'm like, will I care if they've never met Spider-Man? Or will it still be awesome?
Super
I don't know.
Weird, right?
I really think... I think there might be some leveraging going on, and I really think next month is going to alter and solidify some plans along that lines. Because part of it, you know, it could easily be Sony just going, we've got these properties, we got to do something with them, let's do something with them. It could also be Sony going, hey, this is what we're going to do. If you guys don't help us, it's going to look like this. Or you guys could help us. Maybe it'll be better. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I think, I mean, if Spider-Man comes out of the chute and makes... $75 million opening weekend and banks, you know, $600 million worldwide or something like that. I think there's a good chance they kind of push ahead with doing whatever they feel like doing.
Right.
If that movie comes out and does gangbusters box office, I really think, I mean, it could go either way at that point. At that point, that solidifies the idea that they're definitely going to push ahead with everything they can. I think they'll also be a lot more open to some Marvel input. So I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know anybody anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody in this. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Spider-Man. I feel like I like Spider-Man about as much as you like He-Man. But
oh, yeah?
But I have no contacts
with anyone, you know.
But that's just theory. Time will tell.
Yeah.
But we'll know. I mean, in 4 months here, we'll have some ideas of what the impact is.
We'll see. We will see what happens.
I'm excited. I'm so pumped for Homecoming.
I am too.
Even after that poster came out.
Even after that poster. What was with that poster? I loved the memes for that poster.
Yes,
that
the
were
memes were amazing.
Oh my goodness.
So many Iron Mans.
You really got to make sure you know Robert Downey's in that movie. All right. Hey, so there's more He-Man news. Or rather, some news about his sister. And this is kind of some fun news. This just popped up this week. So put this under the rumor section. This is another kind of rumor, but it seems pretty, like, legit because of the way where the source of this rumor comes from. So just a few days ago, a commercial talent agency posted on their Facebook page, like their official Facebook page, congratulations to Merritt Layton for her testing for the new DreamWorks animated series, She-Ra. They just put that up on their Facebook page.
Interesting.
Now,
do we know who this person is?
So, she does voices currently for Disney's Sophia the First.
Oh!
I'm not sure exactly who she is. I don't know if she's actually Sophia or... But she does voices for that cartoon. The interesting thing about that is I went and looked at it again today. That post has now been removed. So I don't know if they pulled it after it sparked all of this news, attention that it got.
Because
there's so many, like, amazing super sleuths on the internet who catch little things like that, and all of a sudden everybody knows about it.
Wow.
And that's, you know, that's what happened here. So, it looks like there is currently a casting call out there for a new She-Ra cartoon series coming from DreamWorks. And that is some pretty cool news. So a little bit of backstory on that. DreamWorks, who is owned by Universal, I think Universal owns DreamWorks. They actually purchased the Filmation library a few years ago.
Oh.
So they own Filmation.
Yeah.
And pretty much from the moment that that happened, the rumors immediately started that DreamWorks was interested in doing something with She-Ra, like right away. And it's a lot of people immediately when this news came out, a lot of people said, this should be a He-Man show. That should be a He-Man show. But the weird thing is crazy enough, the She-Ra license and the He-Man license are separate from each other. And
wish that surprised me.
Yeah. Mattel, you got to remember that Mattel created He-Man. She-Ra was much more under the control of Filmation. Like, Mattel made the toys and they've got stake in it, but like the She-Ra cartoon, like She-Ra was like made by Filmation.
Yeah.
Like, so that's kind of how this whole thing plays together, basically. So I think it's a rights thing. I think it's one of those things where they were like, we've got full rights to do a She-Ra cartoon, so that's the route we're going to take. I mean, if this movie is happening with He-Man, there very well could be that weird studio thing going on where they're like, let's not confuse people and make a He-Man cartoon and a He-Man movie. Let's do them separate. So that could be happening too. I don't know. That's just me speculating.
I always go back to that, and I think I've even brought it up on the show a couple of times. The the Tick cartoon existed on Fox.
Yes.
And then left. And then a few years later, the Tick live action show comes up from the same creators also on Fox. And they couldn't use several of the characters from the cartoon because somehow somebody else owned the rights. So you just never know.
You just never know. Licensing is a weird, weird thing. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's like all the same people for all the same studios and they don't own the same stuff.
Yeah.
Well, okay, whatever.
So now it's kind of fun to sit here and speculate on what might be happening with this and what kind of show we're going to get.
Netflix.
That was kind of my immediate first thought. Because
DreamWorks, you put the idea in my head.
Yeah.
I just stole your thunder.
DreamWorks has a deal currently with Netflix where they're producing tons of content for Netflix. That new Voltron show is a DreamWorks show that's on Netflix. Dino Trucks is a DreamWorks cartoon that my son absolutely adores. It's a Netflix exclusive. They've got a Kung Fu Panda series that's Netflix. Netflix exclusive, a Puss in Boots series, Turbo, that snail. I mean, like, they've basically made cartoons for all of their animated movies mm-hmm. and put them on Netflix, plus a few original things.
Yeah.
So it almost seems logical that they're going to develop this for Netflix, right? Now, I don't know if that's for sure going to happen, but it seems logical with yeah. everything else that's happening, and it seems like a great home for a show like this.
Yep. Because, I mean, the He-Man cartoons are on Netflix right now, aren't
they? Are, which the old, is in the Filmation ones are on there. Which
are
is
the
another,
She-Ra ones?
Yes, they are, nice. I think. I'm almost positive they are, right? So that's another thing that kind of made me go, well, they put those on Netflix. Maybe there's a reason they put those, because that just recently came back to Netflix.
Yeah, because yeah. it was gone for a while,
maybe
I know.
Maybe there's a reason for that. Could you know, be. That's maybe they're starting that hype train. So then we start kind of thinking about, like, what do you think this show's going to be? And I'm kind of, I think there's a lot of cool ways they can do this. I'm of the mind that they're probably going to try to target a younger audience with this show. And I'm not saying that they're going to make, like, a dumb kiddie show. That's not what I mean, and that's not really what I'm, that's not what I'm saying I'm hoping for. I mean, gosh, the original She-Ra show was made for kids. Let's not forget that, yeah. right?
The
original
Which He-Man we was always made for kids. Do all the
we
time.
We always forget that stuff. Yeah. So just because I'm saying it's going to be a kid's show doesn't mean it's going to be like, you know, She-Ra kids, She-Ra babies. You know, that's not what I mean.
She-Ra babies.
Yeah. But with things being popular right now, such as that DC superhero girls, it would not yeah. surprise me if that's the route that they're planning to take She-Ra.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, would you be okay?
Yeah,
would
oh
be
yeah.
I'll be on
yeah.
board with that?
Yeah, I'd love that.
And I'm thinking of, like, you know, they're going to make a cartoon, but, like, man, that gives them the potential to make new dolls and toys and just this whole new stuff to market towards kids, mm-hmm. You know, and kind of get, you know, they can capitalize on that girl power trend that's real big right now, which I'm so glad is a big thing right
yeah.
now.
It's you a know, great time to have a daughter.
Yeah, it's yeah. great for, yeah, exactly. but, you know, the cool thing is like, I feel like DreamWorks does a good job of making shows that are fun for kids, but also that parents can enjoy. Like, I'm thinking about all those shows, and, you know, I enjoy a lot of DreamWorks animated movies. I yeah. love their stuff. Yep. And, you know, I love watching that Dino Truck show with my son. It is skewed a little younger, but it's still a really fun mm-hmm. show. You know, I think I would be totally on board with them yep. kind of doing something
and,
for that
you know,
age.
And watching some of that kiddie stuff with kids puts it in a whole new light.
Oh, it's fun.
You know, yeah.
It's fun. Just, yeah. I love watching Spencer get so excited yep. about that kind of stuff. It's fun because I'm watching him, like, discover his own things and get excited about his yeah. things. And it reminds me of, you know, when I was excited about He-Man and yep. stuff. So I think it would be great to, you know, and this goes back to what I said about the movie. It'll capture a new generation of fans for the property. And that is never a bad thing.
No, you know? Never at all.
So I'm pretty excited about this news. I think it seems very legit, and I'm really anxious to see where this one goes.
Yeah. Now, the only thing I hate about it, I mean, at this phase, it's going to be 3 years before we know
That's,
anything.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we're not going to know anything official, probably for another year at least,
yeah.
I bet.
Before,
I bet.
Yeah. And then before we actually see anything, it'll be forever again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's so, always a bummer.
I wonder,
but
I wonder
yeah.
if casting guy got in trouble for putting that post up. or
been
the
a,
agent.
It would have been
a
Facebook guy
yeah,
who got
Facebook
in trouble.
Guy.
Yeah.
Good job, guy. So that's definitely something to look forward to and keep an eye on. I think that's going to be a fun thing to watch develop. So speaking of cartoons being resurrected and coming back, this is another one that's really been making the rounds this week that a lot of people have been asking us about. IndieWire has reported that Warner Brothers Animation and Amblin Television are currently developing a new version of the beloved 90s cartoon known as Animaniacs.
Brings two questions to mind.
Okay.
Who cares?
Oh.
And where are the Tiny Toons?
Okay, I'll see your Tiny Toons. Tiny Toons was great.
Yeah.
And I think
and I liked Animaniacs
before.
Quite fine. It's just I've always had animosity towards Animaniacs because Animaniacs showed up and Tiny Toons was just gone.
Yeah.
I loved Tiny Toons.
I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
I loved Animaniacs and I still do. And it's funny because it's on Netflix now. And crazy enough, that's the reason this is happening, because the report says that the recent surge in popularity on Netflix is what drove them to decide to bring the show back.
Yeah.
And I love that this is another case of Netflix bringing a show back to
yep.
life, because
yep.
they see that there's still an audience for it.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like, this is a show that my son has found on Netflix, and he likes to watch. And I think it's so fun that when he wants to... He loves Pinky and the Brain, which is great. Like,
yeah.
That's one of his favorites.
Who didn't?
Yeah, Pinky and the Brain's good stuff. So this is the other good part, is Steven Spielberg was the guy who developed the original, and he's on board for the new one. So we'll have Spielberg back on board for the new series, so that's a great way to start.
Who I think also developed Tiny Toons, I believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Come on, man.
The series is apparently still in the very early stages of development. There's no network attached or anything like that. So that's really all the news we have on the show right now. So no word on if the same voice actors are going to reprise their roles. I'd love to see Rob Paulsen come back, you know, the current Donatello. Mm-hmm. He was the voice of Yakko and Pinky. It'd be great if I'm sure he would be on board to do it again.
Oh yeah, I'm sure I'm sure I would imagine any of them were. That was such a fun show.
I was going to say, and
I begrudgingly say.
And you know, I feel like they've kind of got an iconic voice cast, that it would make total sense to let the same cast do it again, because they're all still around and they're all still acting, and why not? Why not have them reprise their roles?
Just going to throw this out there. It is a Warner Brothers property.
Well, their animation's good.
That's true. That's actually, you know, that what's funny, and I still haven't seen this. I want to go rent it for my daughter. Several of the early reviews I saw of Wonder Woman at some point in there took time to mention, hey, this movie was great. We really enjoyed it. It was nowhere near as good as the 2009 DC animated Wonder Woman, but it was really solid. And I think that's awesome that even with a movie that good, they're calling back to this other cartoon from 8 years ago that was apparently better.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, so I definitely got to check that out with her at some point.
You definitely should, especially since she's way into Wonder Woman now. Excellent. All right, well, we have got several fan questions, actually. A lot of people were really excited that we were recording again, and we really appreciate that. So we're going to go ahead and end the show today by going through some of these fan topics and suggestions.
Let's not pat ourselves on the back until we do a second episode in under 6 months.
Well,
but
great
to be back.
Like, we were gone so long, I was really worried that I'd put that post out there and there'd be nothing but crickets. But I was shocked to see so many people like jump right on there. And my favorite part is the very first comment comes from Michael, who says, "Holy crap! On a whim, I checked y'all's page to make sure nobody had died, and I was shocked to see that a new episode was being recorded." I cracked up. That comment made me die right there. So he goes on to say, "I'm so excited to hear you guys again. It's been way too long. I wanted to see if you guys were going to be discussing the recently closed Masters of the Universe Classics pre-orders from Super 7. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I thought the lineup was pretty good. I wasn't crazy about the new pricing, but at least the shipping rate is much better. It's funny how a small company can offer a much lower shipping rate than the giant toy company Mattel." Also, any word from Super 7 on if there's any San Diego exclusives? Can't wait to check out the latest show. I think it should be at least 3 hours long because you guys have to cover everything you missed. You owe us that.
God, we're probably pushing that time-wise.
Yeah, exactly. And before I fully answer that question, I want to jump over to Jason, who also says... I'm sorry. Not Jason. I need to skip around. I'm sorry. Because I think somebody else asked us about the Super 7 stuff, too. Am I missing it? Okay, well, we'll just try to cover it in this question then. Okay, so that's cool because we talked a lot about the Super 7 taking over the Masters of the Universe Classics toy line and like how that had progressed. So where we currently stand is the first figures that they put on pre-order way back the last time we talked are finally starting to ship right now. So they actually just posted pictures today, the day we're recording this, showing the final product, saying that it was on the boat to the U.S., and as soon as they had it in the warehouse, everybody was going to be getting them. So very soon, in the next couple weeks here, we're all going to know like how they actually turned out in hand, and I'm really excited about that. But since those, they just launched their next wave after that. And there was a little bit of kind of people were like, "Oh, I don't know if you guys should be selling more pre-orders before you fulfilled the first ones because they got a little delayed, so we still don't have those in hand, and we got asked to put money down for a new set of figures." So I totally understood why some people were hesitant, but they did a great selection of characters. They're totally like just releasing the crazy, like we're at the point where like the characters they're releasing are super like weird tier characters, but that's exactly what's to be expected. But they're also continuing the characters based on the Filmation cartoon series. So we're getting like a Filmation version of Hordak, Filmation version of Teela, and Man-at-Arms and Triclops, I believe, are the figures. And they look great. It's a great selection. And the pre-orders just closed for those. So I think Super 7 is doing a really great job so far. And I'm saying that without having product in hand yet, so we'll see how the actual quality is. I'm really excited to see these in hand. But you're right, the price of the figures did go up. They went up to about $35 per figure. And I talked about this originally, that with it being a smaller company, it was probably going to be way smaller production numbers at this point, especially at this stage in the line, which meant that there was no way to avoid prices going up.
Yeah.
And $35 is a little tough to swallow, but considering Mattel, at their highest, were selling them for, I think, like $30 to $33, they did a pretty good job of staying pretty relatively close to what Mattel was selling them for, and they didn't get as high as $40. And I've always said that I think $40 is the too high zone for these action figures. Like, I feel like if you get to the point where you have to sell them for that much, it's probably time to call or quits, because people are not going to want to shell out $40 for one toy.
Yeah.
So they're selling them in sets of four. They're bundling them. But what I think is so great is Super 7 has like really gone out of their way to try to help fans the best they can. They set up they did a payment plan option. You don't have to pay for the whole bunch up front. You can do a payment plan where they break it up into three payments, I think. As he mentioned, the shipping is actually cheaper than it was with Mattel. And at first, the shipping was a little high, but they like went out of their way to like work out a deal with like a shipping company, and they were able to lower the rates. Like, I just really feel like they are doing everything they can to make this work. And I think that is awesome because, I mean, let's face it, they bit off a lot by taking over this big property as such a small company.
And I will say, and I don't know. I mean, we've discussed this too. I don't buy the action figures. I bought some of the original Mattel ones.
Yeah,
but I'm out of that game, and I don't know these guys from Adam, or how their business runs. But I do know a little bit about business in general, and you're never going to convince everybody how this stuff works, but keep in mind, from a fan perspective, this is a small company. This is not like a Mattel, who can afford to take a chance on a product that tanks and still exists the next day.
Exactly.
These guys, this either works or these guys are probably out of business, because they don't do a whole lot more.
They've got a lot more stuff now, but yes, they're a very small company.
Yeah, I mean, this is their big thing. And if they end up losing tons of money on this, then it hurts them all around.
Which is exactly why they have to do pre-orders, too.
And that's why they have to move along to the next section, because when you hit these snags, like, the honest to God truth of it is, if they're not getting the money in ahead of time, then they probably don't have the money to finish what they're doing, And again, like I said, I don't know these guys, so I hope I'm not inferring anything out of place or anything like that. But I know how small businesses. I work with small businesses. I know how small businesses run.
Right.
If they don't meet projections from one way or the other, that can seriously affect how the next phase goes. So if they've got all this stuff priced out and they have to sell so much of phase one to move into phase two, if phase one's delayed, that means that they can't do all of phase two and wait for phase one to catch up.
Yes.
They have to keep those cash flows going or everything buckles. So they either have to stop and pause and wait months and months and months to start it going back up where phase one catches up, or they got to start selling phase two ahead of time. And as a community of fans, selling to a community of fans, hope that people understand and are willing to move forward with that. And as that money flows in, they're able to complete their projects,
Right.
So
exactly.
It's not, I don't get a feeling at any point during this process that anything is any less than above board.
Yeah.
For anything they're doing. It's just the realities of businesses. It sucks that you have to spend more money before you've even got your first toy, but it's either that or the project doesn't happen at all.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, that's just the way it is sometimes. Yeah. But I think it's pretty commendable the way they're treating this, and I think they're very serious about it, and I think they've shown that. So we'll have the Ultimates. That's
the full impression I get from every step of this that I hear about.
Yeah, just looking at it from the outside, which is cool. So we'll have the Ultimates in hand in the next couple weeks, and that way we'll get like a full look at like the actual quality of the toys and how they turned out, and I think that's really going to set the precedent for what we've got going forward, and then we'll know what to expect.
Yep.
As far as San Diego exclusives, I don't know anything specifically, but I will tell you, yes, there's going to be, because they've had exclusives the last 2 years for Masters. I don't know if we're going to get an actual Classics figure, but what they'll probably do, I mean, they might do some stuff more along the lines of the muscle figures that they've done the last couple years, and like the 3¾-inch like Kenner style figures.
Yeah,
they do those at Comic-Con a lot, so we'll probably get some stuff. I just don't know what yet. We're getting real close to Comic-Con, which is crazy, so
yeah, anytime now we're gonna know.
Yeah, it's a few weeks away. It's super weird. Okay, the next question, actually, Jason and Ram Jam both asked very similar questions, so we're going to answer them together. Because Jason brings up the possibility of the DreamWorks animated She-Ra, and Ram Jam brings up the announcement of Animaniacs coming back, and then both of them ask, what other cartoons would you like to see come back, essentially? So they're both talking about these old properties getting rebooted. We've seen this happen a lot. Mm-hmm. It's been happening to all kinds of
I feel
of
like we field this question every 6 to 12 months, depending on when we're taping.
And it's hard for me to really say now, like, what I would like to see come back. I mean, I love that Voltron show.
I got one.
Yeah.
Tiny Toons.
Tiny Toons, there you go. Well, I'll go ahead and throw out He-Man then, because I, instead of getting a movie, would much rather see a He-Man animated series. I think that would be perfect. That would be wonderful.
I think, and I wish I could remember in what light we've talked about some of this stuff before. I know we've talked about Mask a few times because of the Hasbro universe that's theoretically going to be happening at some point with the G.I. Joe movies and such. But I, you know, that was one of those kind of smaller fringe cartoons that I always dug. So I wouldn't mind seeing a reinvigoration of that and kind of update that with, you know, more modern looking vehicles and stuff. Potentially.
That'd be fun.
That could be a fun
that
one.
That could be fun.
And again, I'd probably be more excited about a cartoon for that than I would be a movie also, but time will tell.
That's just the way I feel with that kind of stuff now. Yeah. I'm always like, man, a cartoon would be so much better. All right. Ryan says, do you think Marvel may have gotten back the Fantastic Four, especially with some of the friendly relations that have been going on between them, like Fox trading characters like Ego, the Living Planet, Marvel giving Fox the go to change the powers of Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Marvel helping Fox make more X-Men shows like Legion, The Gifted, and the adult animated Deadpool series. We didn't even talk about that. That was announced.
Donald Glover is attached
to that. And Marvel has been giving a lot more exposure to the mutants in the comics. So, so he's bringing up all the stuff that they've been... Like, basically, Marvel seems to be very cool and open with what Fox is doing with the mutants, because and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Marvel doesn't need the mutants right now in the cinematic universe. I think they know that that would just be the we've talked about it before, adding the X-Men at this stage is not gonna work with what they've already built. Like the X-Men are like their own giant storyline as it is, and trying to squeeze them in with the big overarching Thanos thing is not they don't need that, and I think that's why they're so willing to, they've become so much more willing to assist Fox. Plus, I mean, Fox did Deadpool and nailed it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that helps, honestly.
Well, and their last two Wolverine movies have been
great. Yeah, Logan Logan did good for him. And
I didn't like Apocalypse at all, but Days of Future Past
was great. Was good.
You know? Now, in fairness, though, the first couple of X-Men movies are really good, too, but they didn't help Marvel in any way, shape, or form, so it didn't really matter. And Disney is still driving that train or bandwagon or boat or whatever the phrase is.
Yeah.
But Disney's the one who's in charge when all is said and done, as far as the Marvel movies go.
Yeah.
You know, so even if they wanted to work together on like an X-Men thing, like that's not just Marvel saying, hey, we can put them back in the comics. That's a whole different set of people you got to answer to. But I think it's a good sign that you're seeing more of the mutants in the comics. I didn't even realize that was a thing. I will go back to something I said earlier, too. I think a lot of this stuff is going to hinge on what happens with Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, if Spider-Man comes out of the chute and you know, if it crosses the $1 billion mark in any at all or in any kind of record time or anything like that, I think that's going to open a lot of doors with not only Sony and some of the other things they hold the rights to, but I think Fox will take note of that potentially. And again, I really don't think the Marvel universe needs the X-Men. The X-Men universe could use Marvel, but I mean the things it's doing right now are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily need them, quote unquote. Fantastic Four does.
Yeah.
It really does. It needs somebody who understands the project, the product, and it's never had that at Fox fully.
Yeah.
You know.
So do you think the fact that Marvel is so willing with the X-Men stuff that means that maybe they did work something out for Fantastic Four, or that might be part of it?
I think we'd know if it was worked out yet, yeah. But that doesn't mean they're not working on it. I mean, there was a lot of rumors about the Spider-Man thing, but they didn't hold back once the deal was done.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I feel like it's only a matter of time for Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Honestly, because I don't think Fox is going to try that again.
Yep.
I feel like they're done with it.
I think they've got two options. Let it lapse, which they will hold the entire time, and then let it go. Or try to do the Sony thing and work with Marvel.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a chance any of that is finalized before they see how Spider-Man does, which makes perfect sense.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah. Same with Sony and those other products. I think Sony will be more than happy to work with Marvel on a Venom movie if the Spider-Man thing is a huge success for them. If it's not, I don't think there's any doubt that it's going to be successful. There's no way this movie comes out and loses money.
Yeah.
Or tanks or whatever.
I agree.
But it's really a matter of how successful. Are we going to get Star Wars money, or are we going to get Suicide Squad money? You know, somewhere in that range. Like huge sums, big difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Spider-Man blows the socks off of everybody, which I'm hoping. Man, I'm hoping. These doors all fly wide open.
Yeah.
And anything can happen at that point. And if this is just another Marvel release or another Spider-Man release, which are, again, always big, but if it's nothing groundbreaking, then at that point, I think people are going to kind of stick with their own and see where they go. So we will see. But I agree with you. I think I don't think Fox will do another Fantastic Four movie by itself.
No,
I really don't.
Yeah.
I think they've hopefully learned that lesson. So it's either going to hold off until the rights revert back, or what they'll do is they'll hold off for a little while and they'll sell them back at a premium. So it won't have to wait the full time. But they'll either do that or they'll work with somebody else to try to make a decent movie, because they got to do something that's going to generate profit out of it. Otherwise, it's useless for them
exactly.
to hold on to it.
Right, exactly. Very cool. Okay, I knew I missed a Super 7 question, so I'm going to jump back real quick to talk about that. Because John S., says that he's excited because he just pre-ordered the Filmation line from Super 7, and it's his first Masters of the Universe figure since the 2003 era. So that's really cool. You're like jumping in at this point. I think that's awesome that you're jumping in for the first time. So his questions are, do you think Super 7 will expand that into vehicles, accessories, and oversized figures if the popularity warrants it? And two, which four figures would you like to see in the next series? I'd love to see Filmation style Prince Adam, Sorceress, Merman, and Stratos. So on your first part, I think at this stage, vehicles and large scale stuff are questionable. I think they really need to see how the main figures do first. If they sell well and it works for them and it's profitable, then I would not put it past them to want to try something like that. I know that they were still really trying to look into if it was possible for them to do that Snake Mountain playset, that insanely huge Snake Mountain playset. And I think that's kind of on the back burner right now, because that's going to be very expensive to produce. But they were looking at it, so you can't hold out hope. I mean, you can hold out hope that they're still going to look at stuff like vehicles and stuff. I think that'd be kind of fun. As for other Filmation characters I'd like to see, you mentioned Merman. That's definitely on the top of my list. I'd love to see a cartoon-style Merman figure. What's fun about these is a lot of these guys looked a lot different in the cartoon than the toys. I mean, like, they were recognizable between the two, but they're still so distinctly different.
Yep.
And Merman's one of those characters. And then there's a few guys who are just completely different looking in the cartoon, like Tongue Lashor and Rattler. They didn't look anything like the old toys. I would love to get, like, those versions in toy form. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So, that's what I'd like to see.
The Mattel line, how many, like, accessory or vehicle type things did they do?
They ended up doing four vehicles total, I think, over the course of the 8 years that they had it. And they were always, I mean, they're nice. They were really nicely done. They did the Battle Ram, the Wind Raider, the Talon Fighter, and then Rotan. They did, that's the one bad guy vehicle they did was the Rotan. They did it at the very end. And then they did the Castle Grayskull playset. Mm-hmm. So they actually did a lot of those big scale things. And then, of course, they also did a lot of beasts, because they did, you know, like Battle Cat and Panthor, but then they also did like a Griffin for Beastman to ride on. And they did, Granomir, the big giant red dragon from the Filmation cartoon series. So they did a fair amount of giant things. I just wonder if that's one of those things that, you know, we're talking about a small company compared to Mattel.
It's all about success. I mean, like exactly. Say, if they sell out of every run of these things and still have requests coming in for more, then yeah, they'll make bigger stuff.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you still got the Four Horsemen behind the line. So, of course, they're going to want to make that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've already got things that they never got to release under Mattel that maybe they're just waiting for.
And the best thing you can do as a fan, if you want to see the bigger stuff, buy the smaller stuff.
That's right.
It's grassroots stuff. That's the only way you can really vote on that, you know, because like Dan just said, these are guys already want to do all of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they just got to be able to do it.
They just have to be able to.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Christopher says, I'm glad to see that a new episode will be up. Since you are moving, Dan, I wanted to know how you planned on storing all of your toys. I'm moving in the near future, and I have been buying reusable clear plastic clamshells, but I wanted to see if you had any other ideas. I'm afraid that my methods of packing aren't going to be any, like, mind-blowing revelations for you. I started by buying a bunch of rubber totes, and basically what I was doing is I was just using, like, Ziploc baggies.
They're all slightly to my left.
They are all right
like you
there.
Can't
my
see them on the camera.
My entire toy collection is in boxes right there. The only things not packed up is what's behind me.
No joke. It is intimidating.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Takes up half the basement. I don't know how I'm going to move all this. It's going to be stupid. So I basically use Ziploc baggies, and I put figures in there with their accessories so they wouldn't be separated, and then I put them in the totes. I got to a point where I felt like the totes just weren't big enough, and they were actually not saving me any space. So I just got a bunch of giant cardboard boxes from the hardware store and started using those. So they're not the best storage, but that's not a permanent thing. Like, it's just to get it moved to the new house.
Yeah.
So, and then point after I get there, I can unpack, decide what's actually going to get stored and what's going to get displayed. And then the things I store then, I will more properly, like, store. So, yeah, I just got to do what you got to do. I was kind of also, like, under the gun. I had to pack things up really fast because we're trying to sell the house and people need to come in and look at this house. And so I had to just pack things up as best I could, as fast as I could, so... Yep, that's what I did.
Whoever buys this house is going to be shocked by how big this basement actually is.
When all that stuff's not in there?
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. All right.
I do not want to help move all this.
I know you don't.
I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding, but I'll be here.
I don't want to move it either. Yeah. That's one thing. Like, I felt like when I was packing, I was suddenly disgusted in myself. I was like, why do I have all this junk? I don't need this stuff. This is awful. It was miserable. So I hope, like, when I'm unpacking, I feel better. I'm like, oh, this is here. You know what I mean? Because when I was packing it, I was very unhappy about it. I was like, oh, this is stupid. Last question of the day comes from our good buddy Jack Starrow, who says, I have a random question. Other than The Rock, which pro wrestler do you think has been the best actor to ever transition into movies? I don't necessarily mean the most successful. I just mean the best at actually delivering a good acting performance and... Would you think that particular wrestler could work in the "We'll Believe It When We See It" Masters of the Universe movie? So, any wrestlers aside from The Rock that you think made a good transition?
It's hard to say with some of them because there's so many like one shot guys.
Batista's pretty much killing it with Drax.
Yeah,
right
he's the first one that pops into my mind.
Right.
Because of the success he's had, but it kind of fits both. I mean, it is most successful, probably.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Hogan made all those movies.
Yeah, but I love Hogan and I loved all those movies.
But they're not good.
Yeah,
he's not
and that's the same with Batista's great as Drax, but everybody else he plays is just sort of like personalityless thug, you know, which he's also great at, but it's not really range. But I would say just from Drax, he's probably, I mean, I love They Live.
Oh, yeah,
You know?
Piper.
So Piper was great in that. But again, it's not like that was going to win an Oscar or anything,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
So it's kind of where you draw those lines. And then you got your one, I mean, you know, like, I remember Ed showed up in like a Highlander movie or something like that, but he was in there for like 2 seconds. Yeah. He didn't do anything. So.
Oh yeah, Triple H was in that Blade movie.
Yeah, Triple H was in Blade, and some of these guys have done. I mean, The Miz has done like 6 Marine movies, and we were walking through the video store the other day. Which, for the record, did you guys know video stores still exist?
Wow, I don't want to go to them.
Well,
I know we have a couple family videos. It's
that's where we were going. It's super fun with the kids, as it turns out. Again, I mean, these little humans run my life.
Yeah.
But going through and letting them pick stuff out, whatever, like it's like being back there myself, from that age.
That used to be great.
I was just walking around the aisles and I saw like the Marine 5, and it was like Heath Slater and The Miz was the star. But there were 6 guys in there where I'm like, these are all just like B Squad WWE guys. Like, literally, this entire movie's full of them.
Oh, that's good.
And I can't remember any of the other names, but see, everybody on the cover was a known wrestler.
Oh,
you know?
That's funny.
Well, so you see the little one offs like that. But again, to give a serious answer, I mean, I think the only two in contention are your Hogan and your Batista. And from a. From a best transition as an actor standpoint, I got to go with Batista by default.
Yeah.
Because I love Hogan, but not because he's a great actor.
As for seeing him in Masters, I don't think I'd want to see any of him in Masters.
No. No.
I don't.
Yeah.
I would honestly.
Cena did a couple of good movies.
Cena did.
I never saw Trainwreck, but he was supposed to be hilarious in that. But he did. I liked 12 Rounds.
Oh, 12 Rounds. I did like 12 Rounds.
I liked 12. And I liked the first Marine. Uh-huh. You know, so I guess he'd be up there maybe too, but I'm gonna stick with Drax.
Drax,
yeah,
the Destroyer.
I love Big Dave.
Excellent. Well, my friends, that is gonna wrap up the 51st episode of the Geek Easy Podcast. Thanks for waiting for us, guys.
Yep.
We are gonna do our very best to get this back on track.
Kicking off 2017 in style
in June.
In June.
We're the worst.
If we were the worst, we wouldn't have fans.
That's true.
So we're like,
that's true. And you guys all popped right back up for us. We
That means a whole lot, guys.
Well, people were tweeting at us in our hiatus, and
every time we got one of those tweets, we'd text each other. It was just whoever saw it first. We got to get an episode going. They're calling for us, and it just didn't happen. But again, not. Through no fault of you guys, we did take note of all that stuff, and we've been working on getting it up and going. So let's get back into the swing of things.
We will. We absolutely will. Thank you guys so much for staying tuned and listening and watching. We really, really appreciate it. If any of you guys have your own questions that you want to ask us for the next episode, the best place to do that, where we always collect those questions, is on our Facebook page. Just head over to facebook.com/GeekEasyPodcast or do a search for the Geek Easy Podcast. You'll find our page. I always do my best to put up a post to let you guys know exactly when we're recording, so that we have a nice place right there. You can just post your questions. We can answer them right here on the show. We love hearing from you guys. As always, the show is available in multiple formats. The audio format you can download on iTunes, on Stitcher, on the Podbean app, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, you will find us there. We also have the video version on our YouTube channel, which is going to get its first upload in 6 months. It's going to be amazing.
Are we on Google Play?
You know what? I'm not sure if this if it feeds to Google Play, but I can check into that.
Yeah, we got to get on Google Play.
If we're not, I'll get it there.
Because that's where I listen to podcasts.
Is it? So, okay. Yeah. Well, I'll check to see if it feeds there, and if it doesn't, I will get it there. I will make sure it's everywhere that you guys listen to your shows. So,
and click subscribe.
Yeah,
that also means a lot.
Exactly. Subscribe to our YouTube. Follow us on iTunes or Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. That's a huge help for getting us out there for other people to find.
Yep. Like us on Facebook.
It. Yep.
That is where we always post questions, and that is also where we will post the news if one of us does die.
Oh yeah, that's where we'll break the sad news.
Yep. Yep. So check that out often.
Excellent. All right, guys. Well, until next time, which will not be in 6 months. It will be like in a week or two. I'm Pixel Dan.
Probably 2. I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Take care, my friend.